Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of No Quitters. Vinny Salcido.
And Dan Reyes. And today, guys, we have a treat for you. We have Rosie here, who's a very successful gym owner.
Thank you.
Right? She has a very successful location in, what is it? Chino Hills?
Chino Hills area.
She's about to open her second location right across the street from us in the city of Orange. On Chapman. She's very successful now, but she didn't start like this, right?
No.
And this is exactly what we want to get into, because a lot of people, they're going through some challenges, right? Especially females, they go through some stuff and they get stuck on that and they don't ever come back or come out, right? And that's exactly why I wanted to bring her on board, because she has a really good story that I hope motivates you guys.
Thank you.
So Rosie, we know your success, right? Can you tell us, like, what was your upbringings?
So starting off growing up, I mean, maybe some of you can relate. It was seven of us. Let me backtrack a little bit. My dad was previously married, mm-hmm. had seven children. His wife died of ovarian cancer. Then he married my mom, much younger mm-hmm. woman. She's had seven kids. So the challenges there were already, it was a lot.
14 total combined?
Seven on him there and seven
no
on
TV. Seven. He had seven with my mom. So my immediate brothers and sisters, seven of us. My mom was much younger. She was, I want to say 25. He was maybe in his 50s. So, you know, their immigrant parents did their best. We lived in a one-bedroom apartment in the city of Compton.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Oh.
Grew up in Compton.
Oh, gee, yeah.
Wow.
I did. And it was, you know, it was, I loved my childhood. I wouldn't go back and change anything. I loved the memories I have there. Mm-hmm. It was tough. I mean, I got into fights for no reason and things that I didn't even know why. And I was, you know, a few times we'd walk to convenience stores and we would be robbed and stuff like that. I mean, I learned how to pray early as a child.
Okay.
But yeah, I remember after the Rodney King riots, we ended up moving to Paramount. So my upbringing was mostly, I want to say most of my later childhood was in the city of Paramount. My father passed away when I was 15, so he was a little older, but he smoked like a chimney, drank like a fish, diabetes. I think that was the very first time in my life that I knew that I didn't want to eat bad. I didn't want to drink, smoke cigars or cigarettes or anything like that. I knew that something had to change, like that generational curse you want to break, right? Because it's not serving you. That's the way his father was, and that was normal, right?
So he was a role model that you didn't want to be like.
Right.
Exactly. I love my father. I loved him, but yeah, it was a lot of lessons there that I had to learn very early on. I think I cared a lot about what I ate from that point moving on, because talking to the doctors and everything, it was like, well, his health, he has this, he has cholesterol, high blood pressure, diabetes, and you know, it was
a list.
A list. The list goes on. So,
and out of seven, where do you stand?
I'm the second youngest, so I have five before me, and then there's one under me. Yeah.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah.
And where's your family originally from? I know you grew up in Compton, but your parents, where were they?
Michoacan.
So they came from Mexico.
They came from Mexico.
And so here you want to start eating healthy, thinking different, when in reality, we come from manteca and
tortillas,
chicharrones.
We brought the chicharrones at the same time. I'm getting hungry already.
Chicharrones next time.
Right?
Yeah, and that is probably the biggest challenge, because even after I got married, I did cook Mexican mm-hmm. food and all that, but I'm going to totally ruin it for you guys. I don't see nutritional value in some of those foods. And then as you get older, you realize that it takes a toll on your health. So I do focus more on healthy eating. Once in a while, I'll try to turn into a traditional Mexican dish into something a little healthier. And I'm very creative, but you know, sorry to blow it.
No. That's the reality. Now, you had to retrain your way of thinking to learn to cook something new and to be okay with the new taste and quinoa and different. I mean, I don't know. I'm not an expert in that. You're the expert in
turkey albondigas are just as good.
Really? See, we would never think of that. Why didn't our parents think of that, right?
Yeah.
She's changing that generational curse for something healthy.
Exactly.
I like the idea. I think I'm going to try it.
Hey, that might be a new business idea. They're just turning everything that we normally eat into something substituted with something else more healthier, right? Yeah. So let's take us back to your story. You're 15 years old, right? You're in now Paramount, right? And your pops passed away, right? And how did that impact you?
It was so hard because I don't think I ever knew anyone that had passed away my entire life, let alone my father.
He was the first one.
Yeah. And I'm like, it was just kind of an awakening, like, okay, life isn't forever. You know, that feeling where, I don't know if you experience somebody that you're, or any situation in life that you're like, okay, there's no messing around. Like, what, like, this life thing is a real thing. It's serious. You know, at 15, you don't think about those things, you know, until something like that happens. Yeah.
That opened up your eyes to be like, man, I got to take this seriously.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Later on, in a few years from that time, my mom passed away. So I was in my, I think I was about 20 and didn't have my parents. So the only thing, I was scared. I still needed guidance. At 20, you don't really know what, you don't have your plans aligned. You don't have your ducks in a row, per se, right? Yeah. You're 20.
You're still trying to figure it out.
You're trying to figure out, like what
all the instructions.
Wow. Yeah, exactly. There's no instructions. Nobody gave us a manual. Like, this is how your life is going to go. Right. Go do it. Like, you were still confused. So I felt scared, lonely. And I think I got married so early on because I was afraid of abandonment. I was afraid of who else is going to leave. What am I going to do by myself? You know, I had very close brothers and sisters, and I still do, but we're all dealing with the same situation. We're all trying to heal from the same trauma that we have gone through together, you know?
Right. And there was not one of them that you felt more comfortable going to? Or?
I did. I think my brother to this day is kind of like a father, because even though I had my father 15 years of my life, I don't even remember a conversation with him. He was a very, like, I mean, Mexican man. Like, what do you want?
No,
okay,
words.
Go away. No words. Yeah. Again, I don't hold resentments towards him, anything like that. Like, my life, I feel like everything in life happens for a reason, whatever it teaches you. But I don't even remember having like that safe space with my father, if that makes any sense.
Do you remember him at all?
I do. I do remember him, of course. But again, like that, it was seven of us. He had seven other children, grandkids. Like, I don't think he even knew how to handle his own like responsibilities, you know?
They were so used to just working and surviving,
surviving.
They didn't have time to nurture.
Right.
Yeah. You know? Just open up a cold one. You're leave me alone. Like,
let me chill.
Yeah. Let me chill. And that was
all day.
Yeah. And you know, this generation is different. It is. Yeah. This generation is different where they want, you know, it's so different than when we were brought up. We were in survival mode, I think. And
what kind of path got passed on to you, you know?
Yeah.
Cause I mean, exactly. I didn't know what safe space is. I mean, of course not.
Exactly.
Did you grow up knowing what a safe space was? You know,
not at all. No timeout. No te hagas pendejo. Órale. O te voy a meter una chinga. You know, it wasn't.
Right.
That's what it was.
It was anything they got in.
It was no timeout.
Right. Right. Wires, ollas, whatever came
out. La cuchara if she was cooking, the vacuum cleaner cord if she was vacuoming.
Yeah, like, you eat what we cooked. Okay, and there's no, you know, requests here. Like,
and you learn to eat chile, you eat whatever they give you, right? No?
Right.
Exactly.
I remember those conversations. Very similar.
And so that didn't really impact you in a way where you saw it, you know, that, okay, I lost my father. Now I lost my mother. Now what's next? Did it impact you like, oh, I lost it? Or now what? How did it affect you?
I just thought like, okay, where do I go from here? What? And obviously this decision making I made was not going to be the best. I had no one guiding me. My brother, you know, he did well. He went to got degrees. He's a school principal. Gave me the, you know, the advice he could as an older brother. So did my older sister. But again, in that, you know, I'm an adult by 20, mm-hmm. a young adult. So I got married. I got married early.
At 20?
At 20, yeah. Okay. I think we had dated for about 6 months. And I think I knew, I thought that was the next step. You know, this is what you do. You get married.
After 6 months, you get married. We don't know. We don't know any better back then, right? Yeah, of course not.
Yeah.
It's not like it's nowadays.
Rosie now would not have got, yeah. Gotcha. After 6 months now.
Well, you have to think about all the stuff she was going through.
Right.
Both parents.
I mean,
now,
you're young at 20. Yeah.
Couldn't figure my shit out till I was right. like 20 something.
And there was, yeah. I'm sure there was no phones. There was none of that stuff.
No, there wasn't. So, you know, obviously I didn't marry my soulmate.
Right.
I wasn't fortunate enough. Like a lot of stories that I hear, I admire them all. Some people have been together for so long, but I didn't get that lucky. And then at the same time, I had so much to heal from, and so did he. So.
And to discover.
And to discover to, I think, growing up so separately, so different. Mm-hmm. So because we were kids and now we're not. And then we're just completely different too. So,
and your parents, both your parents are gone now.
Yeah, both my parents were gone. So yeah, that was difficult.
And your parents were first generation coming to the U.S.?
Yes.
Okay. Well,
mm-hmm. Got you. And so then you get married.
Then I get married. Then I have your normal like blue collar job. I worked in healthcare in the pharmacy industry, which later on ended up helping me as a coach because I learned a lot about all the diseases and you know illnesses out there. Mm-hmm. So I end up, you know, going that way, clocking in, clocking out, and you know, being there. I didn't have much help with my kids, so I had to rely on daycare, which was hard too because it's not like your mother.
How many kids did you have?
Two.
Two. Gotcha.
Two. My and sons.
They were young.
Yeah, they were little guys. Yeah. But there came a point where I knew that I had enough in my marriage, so it was time for me to, you know, it was time to part ways, and I did. I end up wanting. I think I got trained to be like lash artist and then the microblading, and you know, I spent so much of like charge credit cards. I didn't even have like the funds at the time, and I didn't do anything with it, and I was so confused. I'm like, why is I wanted this to happen so bad. And sometimes when you want something to happen so bad, and if it's not for you, it's just not gonna happen.
Right.
As much as you know want it. And
and so, you're talking about marriage or the school part?
The school part.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay.
Both. You were
both, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I gave it all I had and it was not for
right.
me.
And so now you're wondering, your marriage didn't work out or for whatever reason, right? Yeah. But you'd made that decision to be like, hey, listen, this is not working out. I need to move past this, right?
And how old are you at this time?
At this time, I mean, I was married 16 years. I was married long time.
Wow.
Yeah.
16 years.
Yeah. It was, I think, maybe 7 years of one of the hardest years towards the end.
Wow. You were married more than you had your pops for.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
16 years. And that was a big part of your life.
It was. I got a chance to like raise my kids and, you know, that was... you know, what I focused on during that time. Yeah.
Wow.
I don't know how much you want to share of this or not, right? But 16 years is a long time,
long time.
And there's a lot of women out there that are in the wrong relationship, mm-hmm. right? They just never grow that courage to walk away from something that's not healthy or serving its purpose anymore.
Well, I was one of those women, uh-huh. but I think I stay long past, you know. But one day I think I just got the courage. It comes out of nowhere. You know, you live your whole life thinking, well, you just, this is how it is. You only do this once. You I still believe that marriage is sacred. I still believe it's, you know, something that shouldn't be taken lightly. But it was in my situation, that's just the way it played out. And I have to understand that not every marriage is meant to last, you know, though there are many that, like, again, I admire so much because they've been together so long. That was in my case.
Gotcha. Wow.
So there was a day you woke up and said, that's enough.
There was a day, I do remember, I just couldn't take it.
And that was it. And you just made up your mind and didn't turn back. And you're like, that's it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Good for you.
And I only ask this question because our listeners might be going through something, right? So your story is going to impact as many listeners we have, right? Could be thousands, could be millions, right? Of people that are going through a similar situation. You were in a marriage, you were unhappy. I don't know if there was abuse or whatever it was, right? It was just not meant for you, right?
Yeah.
What was like the tipping point that you said, you know what, at this point, I got to do what's best for me and my kids?
Yeah. For me was my own mental health. And I think it was whatever you are holding in, it radiates with, or you kind of bleed on everyone, right? And I just knew that I was just kind of confused and nervous all the time. And it was just almost like if it's you're not living with someone you trust, a friend. It's more like you're so separate from that person. You're so disconnected.
And you were 20 years old, you know.
Yeah.
How old is he?
He was probably 24 at the time.
You guys are about the same age. You guys are fairly young, mm-hmm. right? Still discovering yourselves and discovering life and discovering what it is to be married, living together, mm-hmm. right? And all this discovery at the same time. You guys are young and obviously immature. We don't know what's going on, right? We make a lot of decisions in that way. But obviously there are many things that we haven't gone through, especially if it was, you know, it was just, you were so young, right?
Yeah.
You're still discovering things that you might have not even known about yourself.
Yeah, exactly. And you know what? I would say I was also someone that may have been toxic, you know, because mm-hmm. there's a lot of things I had to deal with too that mm-hmm. we were both not, you know, able to handle because he had his own, you know.
Mm-hmm. He was coming from a place of him and.
Yeah. And right. then me from a place where I hadn't healed and I had trauma and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But the thing is that you made that decision,
mm-hmm.
right? And that was hard. I'm sure it impacted your life, right?
Yes.
Before I get into how you overcame it, how did you tackle it on? How did you confront that?
I just knew that when it was time to let go, I was like someone that was very shy, like extremely shy. You asked me to do anything and like this, are you kidding me? No, it was just not going to happen. I think one day I just woke up and knew that something had to be changed. No one was going to save me.
Right.
I had to do it myself.
Right.
Yeah. And I had my kids,
mm-hmm.
you know. So I remember we sold our home. I didn't get any help. So I remember going into the garage and pushing out having a garage sale. I don't know how I pushed out furniture by myself. I'm pretty strong.
Wow.
Turns out. So I just, you know, when you need to get something done, you're going to do it. You don't even think about how you're going to do it or overthink it. I went to go put signs outside, like in the post and everything. And again, you couldn't catch me walking down the street. I was very sheltered, like in this bubble. So that was just something that I needed to kind of go out there and just handle. I knew at that point on that I had to handle everything myself, you know, because you're used to someone always paying the bills or someone always like, you know, fixing this or someone, you know, that even that you got to learn how to do things like fix your own air conditioning, you know, and YouTube it. How do you do it? Okay, figure it out. And then so it was just that independence that I got.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So now the marriage is there. You tackle this in the way where you're like, all right, I need to make sure that I provide for myself. I'm a provider now,
mm-hmm.
right? And at that point, what are you feeling? Like, are you like, shit, I got to provide, or like, I don't know if I want this anymore. I don't know how to do this. Because remember, we're talking to all these, a lot of people that are going through a similar situation, right? And I'm sure all this doubt is going through their mind, right? What was going through your mind?
There's some fear. There was a lot of fear. I didn't know what I wanted to do in my life, let alone like even like go out there and do it. I knew that having faith in God, I knew somehow, some way I would end up okay, because that's where he would be wherever I went. Like, I'm like, it doesn't matter. Tomorrow I'll figure it out, but he's going to be there. So, yeah, I just, like I said, I end up taking all these courses. And, you know, I've had some amazing women in my life that have helped me. So that's always something that I kind of gravitated to, helping women in any way. The lady, I'm still friends with the lady that trained me how to microblade. And even though it wasn't for me, she was always someone that encouraged me to do things. And I end up stumbling into training. I had been training like back in my early days, and it kind of brought me back to
working
that.
Out. You've been working
out, yeah. Was the outlet of me, like, because I knew even if everything, I didn't have control of anything in my life, I had control of getting myself in good shape. I had control of that. And I knew that was the most I had, the only thing I had control of. So I focused, and it was just like that.
So while you're going through all this, right, the divorce, the everything else, you're still working out.
I'm still working out, yeah.
Right, so, never okay, mm-hmm. Nice.
Yeah, and in fact, I did it more because it was a way to kind of release the negative energy and things like that, you know, because it gets harder when, you know, you go to court and things like that. So I end up stumbling back into training. And I didn't have a lot of talents in my life other than I knew how to get women in incredible shape. I knew how to encourage women, and that's all I had.
Right.
And
so before we jump into that, right, I mean, it's challenging to, now you're completely divorced, you're a provider, you have two kids. Now you gotta make sure that you meet ends, right? You gotta cover your bills, right? What's something that kept you like going? Or I kept you moving forward?
Purpose.
Purpose? You found your purpose?
I knew I had a purpose. I didn't know what it was. I would stand outside, look at the window, and I just knew there was something out there for me. It couldn't be, it was just not this.
You had faith.
I have faith. And then I realized that I was someone that wanted the best for like my sister, my mom, my friends, and I had to learn to want those things for myself, because it's easy for you to encourage someone and see their potential and tell them, you got this, I know you can do it, but then it's kind of hard for us to push ourselves and say, you got the potential, mm-hmm. Like go back and talk, point the finger at, yeah, you.
It's easier said than done.
Yeah, you're great, you're talented, you're amazing. And I had to kind of go back to pointing the finger at me and like what I want for my daughter, I need to want for myself. Yeah.
Wow. Your mindset, you have a pretty strong mindset, right? Like when your pops passed away, your mindset was like, all right, I got to go here. Then your mom, and then you're going through everything else. Mm. Can you have this mindset of like not quitting, right?
Yes.
Did it ever cross your mind? Like, I just want to quit.
There was times that, I want to say, even when I was going through the divorce, I thought it was easier just to like not deal with it. And, but then I thought about the life I had, and it was not what I deserved. So I knew that I couldn't quit. There's been moments when I've done competitions that it gets really hard and you want to quit. But again, what does that get you? I was someone that failed so much in my life that quitting was just not going to be another failure. It just wasn't for me anymore. I was done with failing.
Not an option.
Not an option, yeah.
And I'm sure you had your share of emotions. You're going through emotions. Maybe you break down, but you stand back up, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. You just got to keep going.
How was it having two kids? Now you're going through divorce and just raising them.
It was challenging. It's hard because at the same time, even they need to heal from the past and then also the new normal.
Right.
The things are changing. Things were not like they used to be with two incomes and now it's just one. So it was hard for
them.
They
stayed with you?
We share custody, but okay. Majority of the time they're with me. Yes.
Gotcha. So they just had to adjust, right?
Yeah, it was adjustment for them.
I mean, a lot of people go through divorces and stuff like that, and they don't understand. Sometimes you're going, it ends up toxic. Most divorces end up being toxic.
Yes, right? Yeah.
And obviously that affects the kids, right? And primarily the kids are the ones being affected, right? But
the kids are the ones that are most affected.
Right.
So, I mean, it doesn't affect him. It doesn't affect me. We can move on, but it's the kids. Yeah.
Right. Something that I would want you to share with the public is how they need to understand that it's not just about you and them anymore. Right. Like at this point, okay, we had 16 years of life together, right? Whether it was a good experience or a bad experience, it was still an experience.
Yes.
Right. At the end. And things don't have to end up sour. Right. Cause you're still the mom and he's still the dad. And more than likely, you guys are going to be in each other's lives for forever, right? How important is it to have a good relationship?
It's very important. However, if it's not in your hands, then that's really, there's not much you can do.
Right.
The best thing you can do is try to have good communication, especially when it's, you know, I wish I can tell you I have a story that, you know, we're great communicators, but not so much. But it is by far the most important thing, I think, because that's how you keep raising your kids, you know, together and have a co-parenting relationship. Gotcha. Yes.
And then from there, you went over to starting to wanting to train people.
Yes.
Right. So you went through all this stuff and you're like, you know what, I got to continue going. Right. To the point where you found your purpose and what keeps you going. And I'm sure it doesn't feel like work.
It does not. Not at all.
Okay.
Yeah.
How did that begin?
So like I said, when I started training, it was a very low paying. I want to say my income wasn't the greatest, but I knew that it was where I felt most like in my element. Mm-hmm. I loved having a woman come in with all these insecurities and then she comes in, starts working out, you encourage her, she feels stronger, she believes in herself, and then she just smiles and comes and leaves a happy woman. So I knew that I wanted to keep doing that.
Kind of like therapy.
Yep. Like therapy. So I had two jobs. I was training and then I was still going, clocking in, clocking out. Mm. And, you know, at the same time, having to be able to raise my kids to make ends meet. That was the challenging part. I knew there was more, though. I knew that I can give more with what I do. Then I took a manager position at a camp. I remember it was the camp in Ontario. And I had a little class. It was just like a little...
It's like a gym camp?
Yeah, like a gym camp. And I had a class. It was like a glute building class. And it was so busy all the time and so much in demand. And I remember somebody mentioned, like, why don't you open your own gym? And I thought, like, I don't have... how do I do that? How do I open my own gym? Like, I don't even know where to start. I don't know anything about business. You know, I had a little push. Somebody like believed in me and was like, I'll help you, you know?
So someone made you believe in yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. However, I would say that a lot of my clients, because I was an independent contractor, mm-hmm. a lot of them being around business women is a great thing because they were telling me, giving me tips, do this, do that. Have you done this? You should do this.
It was another woman?
No, actually my business partner is a man.
Oh.
Yeah. So these women were encouraging me. I did. This guy, he's a friend that he built all the camps at the time. And he was like, you should do it. You should do it. Why don't you do it? Just, and then one day I'm like, oh, he's like, all you need is like this and that. And then one day I joke with him. I'm like, well, you want to invest? Like, you ready? And then he's like, what do you need? Like, what do you know? You know, we kind of talked about it. But yeah, I would say he was the first person that believed that I can do something this big, you know, and I guess in life you do need that person that kind of like, you could do it. Yeah. Everybody needs a support. Little. Yeah. Right. I mean, you don't think you can swim. Someone pushes you and you'll float.
Right. And then, and that was kind of like the spark of your passion.
Yeah.
Wow.
Then, well, yeah.
Seeing women and you see their transformation occur in front of you, there's nothing more satisfying than and seeing someone that you
it
can
is
help.
Amazing, because any woman with a background like mine, with, you know, mistakes and regrets and like things like that, this is more than just somewhere where you get an incredible shape. That's the cherry on top. Yeah. That's the plus. I mean, but we do it for mental health, longevity, you know, confidence, even like in this industry, for you to walk into a room and feel confident and in front of a crowd, you have to feel good about yourself. Mm-hmm. You can't just stand up in front of everyone and just start talking. Like, you got to feel inside the way you feel on the outside, yes. You know? So
sisterhood, you know?
Yeah. Sisterhood. Yeah.
No, that's very deep. It's deep.
So you opened the new gym up, the one in Chino, how long ago?
January 18th of 23, yeah.
Were you excited, scared? What was the emotion
was it
that
the
was
pandemic
going?
Was still there or?
Yeah.
No.
It had just ended.
Yeah, it just ended. Crazy thing, at that moment, I just knew that, like, I had nothing to lose. Like, I have lost my, I've been at the bottom. I've lost it all. Like, what? There's nowhere to go but up.
Yeah.
You can't, you know, so it's like I had semi-prepped myself for a competition. I did well, killed it. And, you know, I ended up having a coach finish me off. But I went through this whole, and there's something about competitions, it almost feels like you're fasting because you're without so much. Like you can't have.
Yeah, right? Everything.
I mean, even the oil in your food, like everything. So it almost feels like you're fasting. So it did bring me closer to my faith with God. I've had moments in the treadmill where I wanted to give up. So I'm like running and I'm like, I'm crying, I'm praying and I keep going. And that was like the mental toughness I think I needed for this. It like, it was like a boot camp.
So you found more levels of strength that you hadn't tapped into.
Exactly. Because again, if you guys ever do anything like that, you're so deprived from so much. You lack sugar, salt, everything. So your body is just like in desperation. Yeah. So very similar to we're in Lent right now. So when you're, and that's just one thing. Like if you let go of whatever soda, mm-hmm. you know, imagine everything but chicken and broccoli and rice, or you know.
Right.
So that was
a great turn of events. What a great turn of events. Because but when you started, you were such a shy girl, right?
Exactly.
And then you turn into this woman where you're like, you're fearless. You're like, well, at this point, I already lost everything, right?
You know, there's something to learn at the bottom. There's a lot to learn at the bottom. You don't learn anything at the top. You learn at the bottom, and on your way up, that's where you learn it. The top, you just...
Yeah, we always talk about...
you just enjoy.
Yeah, we always talk about there's some lessons in life that only pain can teach you.
Yes.
Right? And you learned a lot.
I did.
What made you be like, you know what, at this point, I from being shy, right? You got to remind yourself, you were shy. They would not see you walking around the streets. That's what you mentioned. Till now, you know what? I'm going to go start my own business. Right.
One day I just, you know, again, like you just tell yourself I started being kinder to myself. I started talking to myself in a different manner where before what was put in my head was like, you can't do it. You're not. You're not educated. You can't do. How are you going to do that?
No experience.
You have no experience, you know.
That voice you talk about, Benny, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And I started telling myself, like, if this opportunity was placed in front of me, then it's my time to seize it. If I just kind of let it slip away, then I will never know. And it could be the best thing that had ever happened to me. There was a lot of times in my life, I think I let go of situations like that. But there was no option at this point. I had two kids. I had myself. And that was it. You just make it happen.
And that was 3 years ago, roughly. And now you're opening the second one.
Second, yeah. I doing that alone was... I mean, once you do it, the second one is like, you just easier. Go head first. Like, let's go. Like, let's see what happens because it's a different, you know, experience. But I would not have, if you'd have told me that opening that location, I would be open in a second right away. I wouldn't.
You would never imagine.
No.
What do you see for yourself in the future? How many more?
So we're getting great attraction here. I like to franchise. Yeah.
What's the name of your gym?
Go big or go home.
What's the name?
Peach Body Studios.
And that's an all-women gym.
It's an all-women fitness studios. We focus on strength training, resistance training, and like a core movement, Pilates movement. So we don't do the outside workouts, the running, the boot camp-ish stuff.
It's all inside.
All women's physique workouts.
Very cool.
Are you a certified trainer?
Yes. Yeah.
From a certified trainer. Wow.
Really?
That's really good. What's your goal with this one?
This one, starting Chino, I was the trainer, the group trainer, the personal trainer. I was a nutrition person. I was a receptionist. I was the
accountant,
the marketing. I was the custodian. I cleaned it. I worked 7 days a week.
To build your business.
5 a.m. I was up at 4 o'clock, gave all the classes. I still had some privates because I had those girls that were like, no, I don't do group. It's just me. So I had to still train them in my gaps. I can't even tell you how many hours I worked, but it was when you get a high and when you get like that, you know, like...
Euphoria.
Euphoria about doing something. You want to see a birth. You give it all you've got. And I didn't even think. Sometimes I look back, I'm like, how did I do that? That was crazy.
Superpowers.
I don't even know. It was a blur. Like, I just knew I woke up, you know, I had lunch for my kids. Then, you know, it was time for them to do their homework. Then by then I went to the second shift and, you know, it's a sacrifice.
Absolutely.
You sacrifice a lot.
Now, was there ever a certain fear? Because you think you're starting a business and you're running ragged and you're getting burned out. Did a thought ever cross your mind of, fuck, maybe I should slow it down. Maybe I should give it up.
Downsize something. At that point, no. At that point, I'm like, okay, I've done it. I made it. I was killing it. I mean, I opened up with 75 women. That's
opened up with 75.
Wow. Opened up with 75. Working in the area, I had worked in the area for a while, and everybody was waiting for this. They were like, oh my, sign me up. And everybody, you know, we had the ads going, and I had 75 women opening up. It grew to 100, 120. And then I'm like, okay, I need help.
Wow.
By then I'm like, okay, white flag. Okay, I need help. I try. And it's hard because in the beginning you do things, you're the creator, you're the artist, you design everything the way you want it. And then to bring someone in is like, is that person going to do the same? And let alone like love on these women the way I did and care.
What
they're like,
made you choose, I'm going to choose women, a women's gym. You don't see a lot of women gyms, or do you?
No, I think I knew then that I can relate to women. I can uplift women. And I didn't like the idea of training men because I never had, but I heard stories in the past where some of the men kind of like try to come on to the women or whatever. Yeah. And I just knew that I wanted to separate that. I felt comfortable training only women. And kind of creating that safe space where they loved being in a space where it was like you could, they can take their shirt off. They're walking around their bra, tops, you know, like sports bras, and they don't feel like someone's staring or anything like that. It was just that environment I wanted to create.
And you created that.
Yeah,
I did. And you know, now I have husbands calling me like,
is she really there?
No.
Oh,
calling me. Can I sign up my wife? And then they like the idea.
Wow.
I was one of them. I send my girlfriend.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. And
they like the idea of
all women,
their wife or girlfriend being in an all women studio because it's a safe space.
Absolutely. Yeah. Wow.
Is that why?
Yeah, that's exactly why. She's calling. She was like, "Hey, there's a guy looking at me or following me to my car or whatever it is.
Yeah,
it's kind of weird." And you know, I just got tired of those calls. You know,
yeah,
it could be a place where people get targeted.
Right.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Wow. And so now it's a safe space. You're in a shopping center, right?
Yes.
This one's going to be open in a shopping center as well.
Exactly. I did want that. I didn't want to go to a warehouse with the roll up doors that I knew. I wanted a studio feel, a class A building where women are about exclusivity, right? We like things to look pretty. We like a boutique style, everything. We like cute.
Nice.
And I knew that's what I wanted. I didn't want to be like everybody else with the roll up doors and the, you know, that, you know, tough chick, you know, I'm boss babe and not like, I didn't want that. I wanted it to keep our core values as, you know, a positive place to be. Everybody encourages one another and
Nice.
Wow.
If you can go back, right? What are some important lessons that you've learned throughout your journey?
Gosh, that's tough. I think what you want in out of this at times will not happen the way you thought, and you have to be okay with it. One of the most important lessons, I've always been someone that I think I'm liked in my community. For the most part, I was able to impact a lot of women. But I've also learned that not everyone's going to like you. And that was hard for me because I'm one of those people pleasers that like, I want everyone to like me. Why don't you like me? You know, but at the same time, wanting people to like you is very selfish too, because then you can't be for everyone. You can't be everyone's cup of tea. You can't be everyone's glass of champagne.
Because that's all about you.
Yeah, it is. And I think that was the best advice anyone ever gave me. You're not going to be for everyone, and that's it's not your job to get people like you
or to try to fit in. Sometimes people try to fit in.
It's not everyone is, you know, everyone's vibe is different. They'll find their vibe, and this is a certain vibe, then this is your tribe here, you know. And nothing to do with anything I've done. It's just, you know, I've learned that you're not going to make everyone happy.
Correct.
Yeah,
you just said something right now, which I speak about a lot, right? Sometimes things don't happen the way you want them to happen, right? And I think I mentioned this to you before.
Sometimes they turn out better.
Right, right. But they don't, since they didn't have that in mind, right? Sometimes that can be a cancer that grows because things are not happening. They could be better, but it's not what you had in mind. So you're not looking at it as a blessing.
Yeah.
You're looking at it like it could be something that's going to hinder you. Yeah. Right.
And I think it's the art of letting go too. It's knowing when to let go, because it even happened where I wanted this type of layout, this type of like group of, you know, like people. And then it turned out that it wasn't for all of us. It didn't line up, and you have to, and in the beginning, it's not easy. You kind of like have your heart set on how you want things, but you know, you learn to just be okay with the way things are, and then they turn out better at times. You're like, ah, okay, that's why that happened.
And how long was this learning curve for you of letting that go? Okay, things are not the way I want them to be, but I got to let this go because things could be better.
Actually, just last year, that was my year of learning how to just let go of
what you had in mind.
You had in mind. And you know what? Sometimes our I think our plans are too small.
Yes.
You have these plans and then you learn to let go, and then you almost like you're holding on to, you're gripping it. And if you just allow to open your hands,
let it grow.
All this abundance comes in if you just release it. Yeah. So I learned how to release it to God, and then and be open to what He had in mind for me, which was 10 times better.
Yep. God, it's always better His way.
It's definitely better His way. Always. Yeah.
So faith has been a huge part of your life.
Huge. Yes.
And where you're heading and everything. Wow.
Yeah.
How did you become this woman of faith? Like, because a lot of people don't even understand what it is, right? Or they're lost, right? How was that like embedded in you? Because you've always said, "Hey, I had faith. I believe. Mm-hmm. I believe," and you keep on saying it throughout your journey, right? How did you become that person?
I've always been a woman of faith. However, I've always liked to control things. And I wanted to like have a hold of everything that happened in my life, and learning that God is so abundant and God is limitless. And if we understand that, we can let go to, otherwise He's not gonna interfere with what you have going on. You know, you need to understand that. There's something I say, especially back then when I first opened my studio, I would always tell myself in the morning at 4 o'clock in the morning, I would say, God is abundant.
Mm-hmm.
This world is abundant. That makes me limitless. That means there's no limit. If I only limit myself, if I don't see that space out there.
So you don't entertain ever the thoughts of not having?
No, not anymore.
You're open to it always showing up.
I show up, and sometimes, a lot of times I do pray about it. I pray, and then I trust that whatever the outcome is because it's in God's favor. And my faith has grown so much based on that.
How is that? Has it given you peace?
It has given me so much peace. It has given me peace of like, I don't have the anxiety of trying to figure it out myself. And honestly, we create that anxiety ourselves because we overthink, overanalyze when he's like, relax. I got it. Just, and learning.
Why are you stressing over this thing that I didn't even want for you?
Exactly. I told you that I was not worth it. You hung in there long. You know, you did that to yourself. But I think we do that to ourselves mostly, more than anything.
So if you were going to share something with our listeners to get them to that place, because, I mean, you had to go through quite a bit to get to that. How could they learn it sooner, or what would get them to that?
Like, what would be the shortcut? You know, if they didn't have to go through your whole life to experience or learn what you learned, right?
Yeah.
We're here to inspire people and kind of give them a short life. You don't really have to go through this, right? What would you say to the public?
Well, you kind of have to go through it. Honestly, there's no shortcut. Sometimes you have to go through the fire.
The only way out is through.
And you gotta know how to trust. What? Otherwise, you can't. There's no shortcut.
There's no way around
it. You can't detour, because then you would never. You miss the message. You miss the lesson. But there is a book called. It's by Sarah Young. It's called Jesus Always. Is it Jesus Always? I think so.
Sarah Young.
Yeah, it is a book of abundance. You learn how to, through scripture, just understand more of how God is not there to punish us. We think, that's what I get. God punished me because God is not punishment.
Right.
A lot of times there are lessons, and we have to see Him as that, and then learn the lesson. It's up to us to learn the lesson. The lesson is there to build you, for you to see what it is that you need to see to take you where you're going. Yeah.
Got you. So in less words, whenever you come across a challenge, you have to just face it full on.
Face it full on and tell yourself, what is this teaching me?
What am I learning?
What am I learning from here?
Right.
Okay. And trust me, even the hardest lessons in life, you'll never do it again. That's for sure. But it will teach you. Like pain. It'll teach you a very valuable lesson that you'll need in order to become the woman that's right for what he has, right? I think that in life, like you, the women, and again, everything happens for a reason. When I was still married, I was not the woman that was ready for the task I have now.
Right.
I had to build her up.
Build to that.
Yes. Right.
Let me ask you this, because it's, how difficult is it for you to find a group of other supporting women? Because some women can be very catty to each other and kind of bring each other down, right?
Yes. Yeah, so that goes back to like what I wanted to create out of Peach Body. I think it starts from the top. So I set the standard. It is up to me on how I treat people, how I value as a leader, how I lead them. Because if I'm not doing well on my side, or it's like a cancer, it will spread, right? If I'm someone right. toxic, like a toxic gym owner, it'll just spread right. to the trainers, to the members, and wow. become that type of environment. So you set the top as a leader from the beginning.
Right. So because they could easily come in and just yeah. gossip and all the rest of the stuff.
There has been one incident I had to
nip it in the butt.
Yeah, that I'm not a place for them. And it was hard. We were not a match. But, you know, I hope that person found their spot. And, you know, actually a couple times it happened twice. But I have to protect that space. I have to protect our core values and what we have created, because it's what we preach. You know? Yeah.
Those are your standards, and you're not going to change them for
I'm not going to change them.
Good for you.
No. Not all money is good money. You know, sometimes taking someone that could be like somewhat toxic only makes other people probably want to cancel or go away. Right. So not all
it's
money.
It's costing you more.
It's costing me more. Yeah. And you would want a positive environment. You want to keep that. Every time you go in, you want to feel the same. You don't want to
feel good.
Yeah. Yes. Feel good, purposeful, and, you know, energize everything.
Would you say that because of what you went through, it made you this woman that, you know, that made you want to say, you know what, I'm going to build this environment where we lift each other up, where...
Yes, and because I think growing up, there was going to a new school. I remember, like, girls just didn't like you. And I'm like...
For no reason.
I'm nice. Like, why? You don't even, you know, for no reason. And unfortunately, as we get older as adults, that's still around. And it's so crazy that it's not, like, we don't grow out of that. So I knew that this is what I wanted to, you know, foster a place of, you know, where women, we give positive encouragements and then talk nice to each other, you know.
Now, do you have that in, or are you just being the example? I know some places may have like, you know, some stuff in writing, like.
We do. We have a few quotes in the studio. Some are funny, you know, they're just like, we've got back, you know. But then we also have, you know, like the, you know, a few that I've gotten from the Bible, like she believes she could, so she did, you know, things like that. Or like, you know, she's clothed with, left out the future without fear. I love that one. Nice. There's one by Zsa Zsa Gabor that's one of my favorites. It says, let me see if I remember it. It was something like, being jealous of a beautiful woman is not going to make you more beautiful. Because we can see that. I mean, really, what does it do?
Yeah. Nothing.
Absolutely positive. Nothing. In fact, admire her. Wow, you look beautiful. I love that dress. Like,
right. And now you've just so uplifted wonderful. Her.
Yeah, and you uplifted her. She probably had a bad day, and you could have made her day better because you complimented her instead of...
And you would have felt better
by
giving the compliment.
Right. Exactly.
It makes both people feel better.
It destroys. Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hating destroys.
Hating can destroy, yeah, definitely.
Wow.
That's some very powerful stuff right there.
Yeah, that's definitely my favorite quote, because I knew that. If women knew this, like you're not going to be prettier if you're hating on a prettier.
Right. Well, jealousy is not a good look on any woman.
Yeah. It won't make you prettier.
No.
Yeah.
Wow.
Right.
And I'm sure with men, you can relate too. You know, you can't hate on another man because it's not going to make you X or Y or whatever,
right,
you know?
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen it. I've seen it across, and it's sometimes it's challenging, you know, to have other women work with other women, kind of push each other up. But it's something that you tackled on hands on, right? Because you see the need for this.
Yes.
And I mean, what more beautiful can this make the world if everyone's kind of uplifting each other?
Yep.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Wow. Besides getting rid of what you had in mind, like we talked about, right? Is there any other lessons that you learned that you would want to share?
I think for me is it doesn't matter what your background is, your upbringing, or now I grew up in a home where my brother did time in jail. You know, my dad, like
you grew up in Compton.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which wasn't easy.
Yeah, the helicopters were the ghetto bird was all over the.
You grew up in a movie.
Yeah, it was a movie every day. And, you know, it doesn't matter. And I do want to share this. I think growing up, I felt like I was in bondage to my childhood where I thought, and people had told me, you can never do much because you grew up this way or your family was this way. So I lived in bondage thinking that I could not become anything because I was so prisoner to that time in my life. I think when I set myself free and understand that people are more accepting nowadays of your past and how you got here, they want to know your story, that, you know, it ended up serving you in the long run. Like I said, I don't regret anything that's happened in my life, but
you know, that's one of the questions that we ask our listeners, right?
Yep.
There's two types of people, some that wish they can go back and change something, and some that say, you know what, I wouldn't change anything because it's made me who I am.
Yeah, I wouldn't be Rosie Nava now had my life been easier.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody wants to go, like, right, if you told me that right was going to be so easy and a skip and hop, then I would have took right? But if you had told me that left, I was going to fall, trip, get back up, fall again, trip, get run over by a train, then I would not go that way. I would say, no, give me the easy way, because that's like, I'd rather skip.
And how ironic, that's life in general. People want the easiest, fastest way to get whatever it is, success, results, whatever the hell it is.
Right. I mean, most of them are like, can it get easier as opposed to just increasing their skills?
Yeah, they want to skip the hard stuff. And honestly, I think some of the people that have done the biggest things in life have been at the bottom and they've had to deal with the hard stuff. They've had a hard road.
Right. I mean, you found your passion, right?
Yes.
And there's a lot of people out there that haven't found their passion. They're completely lost, right? But at the end of the day, every passion starts with a curiosity, right? If you were to say something to our public, like, just go for it, right? What will you say when someone's facing something where they can't find themselves?
I tell them, life is shorter than we think. And if you don't take a chance now, then you can miss the best opportunity of your life. And by not taking it, yeah, you're safe, but if you take it, you know, maybe it'll teach you something along the way. May not be the door that you're wanting to go to, but it's the hallway. Just do it.
Wow.
That's powerful stuff right there.
Great stuff. Yeah. Thank you so much for joining
us. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely being here.
Thank you so much. And just so anyone wants to follow her, join her team, or join the gym, she's going to open up her new one right here in Chapman. Where can they follow you? Where can they find you?
You can find us at, we have a couple Instagrams right now, Peachbody Studios, Peachbody Studios OC, www.peachbodystudios.com.
Right. And then once again, this is an all female gym. They're focused on not just working you out right, but setting you out up here as well. Right. It's a sisterhood.
Yep.
Thank you for having us.
Yay.
Thank you for having us.
We're coming.
Thank you.
Thanks for being here.
Thank you. Thank you.